I want you to go, we go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, 5, and 6. That's the three chapters that, if you've been keeping up, that's the three chapters that you've been reading this week so far. I got into those, started Monday, and it was like, okay, Tuesday, okay, Wednesday, okay. So I'm going to try to walk a little bit through this because I think these three chapters are so vitally important to get a handle on what's going on. So many of us were raised in a religious group to where what Paul's trying to get across in this whole book, actually, has been so neglected and let go. I can't say we because I don't know where you were raised or what you were raised in, but I was raised at the place where most of it was, you were taught, without even being taught, you were taught that everything was works. That, you know, God was happier when you come to church. God was happier when you read the word. God was happier when you didn't do this and didn't do that and didn't do this and didn't do that. And I was raised learning what not to do. Well, then I started getting understanding of the word, and I found that by me concentrating on the things that I shouldn't do, scripturally, it drew me into the things that I shouldn't do. And if you've read these chapters, you've got to read these chapters over and over and over and over and over, and you've got to read them with the eyes of grace and not the eyes of law to get an understanding of what Paul is talking about in here. But even in these three chapters, it talks about that when you're into sin, it draws you into more sin. And when you spend your time thinking about not doing these things, it draws you into these things. And folks, we know that sin's been in all of us and is in all of us. But the interesting thing about it, before the law, there was no sin, even though you was in sin. But once law came to show you that you could not do it without Christ. That's the reason law came in, to bring to your attention, I am doing something to violate God's word. I'm doing something that is destructive. And God loves you and I so much that he brought the law in to show you that it was killing you, and then he brought in grace to show you I've got the answer. And that's what these books are even all about when you really pay attention to them. They talk about circumcision in chapter 5, I think it is, and that it's for the circumcised, it's for the uncircumcised. Well, that's just saying it's for the law. Is it for the law or is it for those that aren't walking in law? When bottom line, grace is for everyone. So I'm going to sort of kind of walk through this and try to make sense out of three chapters out of, I think there's, 11 chapters in Romans? How many chapters in Romans? Anybody know off the top of their head? Somebody? Let's look and see. 9? You say, well, Pastor, you should know that. Oh, come on. Give me a break. 14? 16? 16 chapters. You say, well, if you went to seminary, you'd know that. Well, I didn't want to go to seminary. I wanted to learn grace. But chapter 4, when you look at chapter 4, it starts off right off the bat. And he's wanting to explain that Abraham was seen righteous because Abraham believed. Right off the bat, he said, well, I'm going to just read a little bit. He said, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Did you hear what he just said? If he's justified by works, then he can only boast in himself, is really what it's saying, and he can't boast about God. And then it goes on and says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, those two scriptures right there should show us that performance is not what makes God happy. All we have to do is believe. And, you know, I can go back. I can remember, you know, even the way we're raised at homes many times. You know, if you're good, you can do. If you're bad, you can't do. Well, I understand that, but yet that comes out of the law. And it doesn't come out of grace. Because every one of us falls short. And this is basically just walking through the scriptures and showing us that there is no other way except by believing. You know, in verses 19 and 20, I'm just going to skip over and go down. In verses 19 and 20, he said that he didn't waver whatsoever. Let me just read that. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. See, you all know the story about Abraham. They were told they were going to have children. Well, they were 100 years old. Like, sure. I mean, she even laughed, like, give me a break. It's been years. What are you even talking about? But Abraham, look what it says. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. But he knew it was, but he didn't consider it. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. See, it's not what we're talking about, is his righteousness and the grace that's imparted into his life. And he's not talking about he fully worked hard. He fully read the word and studied. He fully was good. He fully did all the things that the pastor told him to do. He fully believed. It says, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Oh, if we can get to that place. How much better life would be if we could just come to that place of knowing the word and knowing that God's going to take care of me no matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't make any difference because I fully am convinced, fully am persuaded that what he said is going to happen. Now, is that easy? It wasn't easy for Abraham. But even in the midst of this, what Paul's trying to show us is that, folks, all you have to do is believe. Case closed. It changes your whole attitude and mindset on what you're going through in an everyday life when you grab a hold of you are righteous because of what Christ did for you. Now, with him, it was just believing. And we're going to get into what Christ did for us later in these chapters. But it was all accomplished. It goes on and it says, and therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, listen to that, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Every one of us has the same gift that's been given to us. Every one of us can just believe what Christ has done for us. And see, we're on the other side, so it's actually a little easier for us than it was for Abraham. Because see, he lived in a time where everything was just crazy. I mean, everybody sinned, if you think about it. Everybody sins now, if you think about it. But see, my sins have been taken care of. And that's what, when you drop into the next chapter, that's what you get into. See, we all can walk justified. You say, well, how can we walk justified? Because Christ died for you. We go into chapter 5, and we find that we were justified by faith. Because my faith is in what? My faith is in what Christ did for me. What did Christ do for me? Christ died. His blood was shed for your sins. You were totally forgiven. Now let's remember, get out of your religious mode. You are forgiven for yesterday, for today, and already for the mistakes that you will make tomorrow. I get so tired of hearing all the stuff that some denominations make you do to make you think that you're not forgiven until you do these things and you do this and you do that. And where in the world did that even come from? Does that say the blood's not enough? We have been totally justified because the blood is enough. We've not only been taken care of in that part, but folks, even before we were, I was. That's what it says in 6, 8, 9 there when you read in Romans 5. Before I was even around, was even thought about, Christ already knew me and already took care of my problems, knew my problems, knew where I was going to go with my situations, and knew how I was going to get through my situations, all back before you and I was even here. And that's all done by faith, which is so interesting when you get a handle on this. And then in Romans 5, 10, 11, it says that, let's just go there, 5, 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, for more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. What's that? I've been put back in fellowship with God. Before Christ, I was out of that. Actually, he fixed it. I had to receive it. He fixed it. I had the possibility, I had the chance to totally walk in sin and live that life if I wanted to. You know, Adam, and it gets into the one man fixed things and the one man took care of things, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but Adam sinned, and that was the character of the world, and that's still the character of the world. Christ died once for all, and that's the character of our future. That's the character of our heavenly future. That's the character of our spiritual future. Now, sin is here, and I have an opportunity to live that, or I have the opportunity to choose Christ, and then that changes. And oh, the change that it makes. But when you grab what it really does, it helps you walk through life so much better. Under grace, under his righteousness, it leads to life. 5:21. I'm going to back up. We're talking about man's obedience. In verse 19, it says, for as by one man's obedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now, if you noticed, many were made sinners. They were all made sinners. We're all sinners. But we're not sinners when we have Christ. And it goes on, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, this is interesting. But where sin abounds, grace abundant much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And watch what the next chapter says. Verse 6, and it says, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Certainly not. Well, why not? I mean, if grace covers it, why can't I do whatever I want to do? Because when you start understanding what Paul's doing and what Christ did for you, Paul's saying, listen, if you stay in sin, if you stay under the law, then you will live the destructive life. You know, so many people get saved. Well, I know God. Yeah, you know, I know God. I go to church once in a while. But they live a destructive life, and they don't understand. You know, teenagers are so bad at doing this. They don't have an understanding that the choices that they're making, not understanding, is the choices that are destroying them without them even knowing it. But when you make the choice of Christ, then you're not destroying. And that's why you don't think on the wrong problems. You don't think on the problems of your life. You don't dwell on what's took place. You dwell on what has took place in Christ. So we can choose to live in sin. We can be born again and go into heaven, and you might make it through the gates. If you're born again, you'll make it through the gates. But so many people live on the other nature, because the flesh is appealing and the things seem good and the enemy is destructive in that way, and you wonder why this happened and why that happened. God didn't do it. You did it by your choices. Many of them you didn't know you was doing, but if I had my 12 to 32 years to live over, because I lived that way. I didn't understand any of this. I'm going to heaven. And I wasn't even sure I was going to heaven during that stage. But I'd went to church. I was a good little Methodist boy. I mean, I went to church camps and I went to Bill Gothard seminars. I was okay. But I didn't have an understanding that I thought I was okay by my doings. And I was going to make it to heaven. But I was putting stuff in my life that was destroying my life. I was doing things that I didn't even know was killing me. And God is wanting to save us. Not just get us to heaven. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to have the Spirit of God move us and take us. And like Connie said earlier, He wants us to be witnesses to other people through the love of God that's been shed abroad. This is all in these chapters. I wanted to just read it verse by verse and walk through it, but we would be here till tomorrow. But I want to encourage you to take these scriptures and read these. I mean, slowly read these, because when you read these, it's just an amazing thing what takes place. I mean, for example, in chapter 6, he goes through and he's talking about that we're buried with Christ. Well, what do you mean we're buried with Christ? Now, folks, this is all by faith. See, Christ died for me. So when Christ died for me, then I receive what he did for me, and I, my old sin nature, according to the Bible, died. I am no longer that person that sins. I may do it from habit, but my new nature, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am new. Amen. But see, I've got to get a handle on that. Because otherwise, my old habits, especially if I'm younger and I just don't think I can die for any reason. You know, some of these young people in their 30s now, they think they can burn the candle at both ends. I'm telling you what, it's going to burn them. You got to take care of your body, because the Bible tells you to take care of your body, so when you get my age, you don't have new knees. That was a destructive force back in my day. I worked too hard, and I was told not to, but I did it anyway. That's just one little thing. Or I lived in an area where I should have, or I did some things that I shouldn't have been doing. It was fun. Oh, it was exciting. But then I started noticing, this is not as exciting as it was. And the Holy Spirit was just continually working on me. No, you should be in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because there's nothing in the flesh, folks. Nothing in the flesh. Now, we don't want to get under law on top of law and say, well, I can't do. Enjoy life. But know where the priorities are. That's what Connie was saying earlier. It's amazing how we have got ourselves and our kids and our family so busy that our priorities are just messed up. But we are explaining to ourselves that that's the most important thing right now. And we've got to do this stuff. And we don't have time for church. And we'll come on this day, but we can't come on this day and this day and this day. But we'll get you in, God. Oh, really? So we're going to live. And Paul says, folks, there's grace, but there's also living in that realm that's going to destroy you. He talks about it all through Romans 6. Listen to what it says. In 19, I just seen this morning because I read it very slow. Listen to this. He's talking to me and you. He says, I speak in human terms. Now, prior to this, he's talking about living in that realm of the flesh, that living in, you know, in your own way and whatever, and not the way of God. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, did you hear that? The more you live in that realm, the more you pull into that realm. The more you live in the spirit realm, the more you're pulled into the spirit realm. But listen to what it says. So now presents your members as slaves of righteousness, of holiness. Now, I'm not talking about living a holy life and you look at me. Because what you're doing, you're getting into works. I go to church every day. I never miss church. I wear my hair a certain way for God. I have my dresses a certain way. I don't do this. I don't do that because I'm holy. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about living in the realm of the Spirit and not in the realm of the flesh. Now, we're fleshly people. And we enjoy some stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, where are your priorities, he's saying. Because now watch what happens. For when you were slaves of sin and you were free in regard of righteousness, you were free to walk in the Spirit, but you chose to live the other way. That's what it says. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? In other words, you had the right to live in the Spirit, but you chose to live over here. Now that you did that, he's saying, what fruit did you produce? How did you touch any lives? Because for the end of those things is death. Now, there's no condemnation in this because there's no condemnation in Christ. But folks, I know how I lived from 19 to 32 years old. And still mess up. Come on. I'm just talking. Between 19 and 32, I partied. I just lived. I just went to church once in a while to keep mom and dad happy. And God. Because, you know, you look at mom and dad as, you know. And I went to that little Methodist church in Percy. You know what, Connie? Once a month. Maybe. But then God. Like I heard Brad say one time, you know, I don't understand it, Dad. Why do people just come once in a while? Why don't they just not come at all? And I said, well, because they were where I was. And where you probably was or will be, so be careful. Because I don't care, folks. I don't care how sold out you think you are now. The enemy is trying to pull you away. And all he's got to do is find one thing that fits your fancy. And he can pull you into that fancy, fancy, fancy. Then you realize, oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Now, like I said, there's no condemnation. I'm just telling you what Paul's trying to show us in Romans 4, 5, and 6. That if you're already righteous. You're righteous by believing. But when you realize that there's grace, then you don't get condemned when you get over here. You just go, oh, and you instantly know he forgives you. Because see, we're all going to fall short. But see, if I get condemned over here, it draws me more over here. If I try not to do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, it draws me more into that. But if I'm, everybody here loves God, you wouldn't be here on Wednesday night. We're trying to love God, and then we all fall short in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our actions sometimes. But listen, don't stay there when you recognize it. Just go, oh, thank you, Lord, that you forgive me and you give me mercy and you give me grace, and get back over to the answer. Make yourself get back over. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I'm righteous. I'm okay. I'm in right standing. I'm in Christ. I'm good. I'm all right. And then you tend to go more that way. And you don't go back. Man, you're still going to slip. You're still going to have a thought. You're still going to be going across the internet and see something you shouldn't be seeing. You just go, no, enemy, you're not pulling me in this. Because if I stay here a moment, it'll be 2 moments. Because the Bible says that where I mess up, I'm sucked into more mess ups. Can I just say it the way we say it? But I also know that the more I spend with him, the more power and anointing, and the more I recognize. Hey, how many of you remember when you got your mouth saved? Yeah. See, it used to be, I worked at the coal mines. If you didn't use the F word, can I just say it plainly to you? 2 or 3 times in a sentence, you couldn't talk. For you who don't work at the coal mines or the prison, that's how they talk. But when the Holy Spirit saved my mouth, because see, we when he saved my mouth, I was like, oh, I mean, I'll never forget it. I walked in the wash house at the mines, and it was like, oh, oh. Well, in my immaturity, I cut them down because I was holy. See, we all just, but see, the more I hung out with God, the more he worked on me without me knowing I was even being worked on. And the more I recognized Romans 4, 5, and 6 is alive in me. And I am righteous. And I am saved by faith. And I am okay through what I believe. It's not my works. You say, well, I'll just quit cussing and God will love me more. No, he don't love you any more, any less. No. You want to cuss, cuss.
You want two changes, that's right.
But you want two changes.
That's right.
I'll never forget, Monica got saved and said, can I continue to do the things that I do? I said, sure. You just get saved. Her want to change real quick. It's amazing, folks. So just love people where they are. And recognize that Romans 4, 5, and 6, and I'm not even talking about the chapters before and the chapters after. The whole book talks about your character. And the whole book's not condemning when you look at it that way. When you read it with grace, you don't see condemnation. You don't see, well, I've got to improve and I've got to straighten up. You see grace. You see grace that God just made a way for us to get out of that because it's destructive. I wish I could take every young person and just say, listen, get this in you. Because your life will be so much better. And you won't get caught up into the drugs. And you won't get caught up into all the stuff that's going to kill you. Is it fun? Sure it is. That's why it's designed that way. It alters your thought life so you don't have to deal with your growing up. But then you can't get out of it because the more you do, the more you do. And to get out is only the grace of God. And then to stay out of it is only the grace of God. Where if you just stay out of it, then you got to be careful of being prideful and holy. So see, we're always fighting. You're fighting over here or you're fighting over here. But see, I know who wins. We win. I know who I am in Christ. Changes everything. I love how it goes on. It says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end is everlasting life. See, I'm going to be a slave to something, according to these scriptures in Romans 6. I'm going to be a slave to living fleshly life, or I'm going to be a slave to living a life where I'm promoting, prospering, getting healthier, life eternal, all the things that will bring other people out of the garbage that they're in. Or I can be a slave to that. I can do whatever I want to do. But the Bible is just saying, I love you so much that my son died for you. You died with me and you also rose with me. That puts you on top of the game now. By faith now, you are Christ. By faith now, you have everything. You've got the power of God living inside you. And by faith now, all these things that you shouldn't be doing, it won't interest you because you're going to start doing the things that Christ would want you to do. It's just a slow process of life. And you heard Connie say a while ago, my bucket list is getting bigger and bigger what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I just cannot wait. Things that physically the enemy has took where I can't do it now, I'm going to get him back. You know, there is no time. And there is no, when I get to heaven, if I want to climb rock walls for 1,000 years, if I want to windsurf for 1,000 years, if I want to drive fast, fast cars for 1,000,000 years, now, but see, we can't do. Folks, why do you think they have speed limits? To protect you. All the laws that were put into thing were to protect you. See, the Jewish people did the same thing. They had the Ten Commandments, then they just kept adding and adding and adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. But they were all, to a degree, to make you more holy. Laws are to protect you. Folks, now we have grace. If there was no speed limit, I would never get a ticket. But see, the law come in to protect me because I could get killed driving. Come on. See, we got to recognize what he's done for us. We got to recognize that he's there to take care of us. We got to recognize. You know, I've got so many notes on the different verses. Read 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 this week. And then back up and read 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 this week. And read 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 this week. And open your eyes to read through the eyes of grace. See, we're going to be running the race until we're out of here. Why not know that you're going to win? You know, could you imagine getting into a car race, which I would enjoy, but knowing that every race, I don't care how fast you think you are or what you're driving, I am going to win. Well, see, as Christians, you win. So whatever the battle or whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever's going on with your little daughter right now, it's a hurdle to go through, yes, but you'll get across the hurdle, and guess what? Then they go to high hurdles. You run the low hurdles at first because he knows you can make it, but as you mature, he puts the big high hurdles in front of you, and then you're going to go over the high hurdles. True? And then you learn to go through them right. With the proper steps. And when you miss your steps, Lucas, isn't it true? When you miss your steps, you're going to hit your knee. But that's what the Bible's doing for you. It's showing you, I've done it all for you. Now just believe what's here. And by believing, you're justified. Everything's going to be okay. Now let's walk through this life. Let's walk through this life and know that everything I'm telling you in the new covenant is for you and it's yours. And now just live in that covenant and you're going to be okay. You're going to have hurdles and you're going to have high hurdles and you're going to miss your steps. But you just get to do it over. And you get to do it over. And then guess what? When it's all over and you don't get to do it no more, you get to do it again when you get to heaven. There's no problems and complications. We're just going to mature in a different way, I believe. I don't believe everybody's going to get to heaven at the same level. I mean, God's a fair God. He's going to take everybody and they're going to be at the same level. I don't believe that. We're going to get to heaven, but some of us are going to still be in kindergarten in some areas of our growth. Some are still don't even have hurdles. They just got to learn to run. Come on. There's no tears. There's no heartache. It's all good, but it's all you want to learn. How many has ever had a class that you really enjoyed and you went into class and wow, this is awesome, and you just couldn't wait to get back to the class and learn? I believe that's the way heaven's going to be. We're just going to be so excited about the things of God, and we're going to be so turned on that every moment's waking. Why waste your time sleeping? Let's learn. See, we're going to be the place. We're going to win this race, folks. We are going to win this race. You know, I got wrote down Philippians 1, verse 7. It says we are partakers of grace. That's you and I. 2 Corinthians 12, 10 says that when I'm weak, he is strong. Now, that's in the midst of all that's going on. Why? Because I've been justified. Because I've been given grace. Because I've been given everything that I need. See, grace is the anointing of God flowing through your life. That's what grace is. So when I'm walking through life and I'm walking over here in this realm that I'm seeking God and I'm loving God and I'm trusting God and I'm not working on the problems and I'm not working on living wrong, I'm working on living right, I'm not living in the flesh, I'm living in the spirit, I'm all the while moving towards the thing God's got for my life and not just for your life, see, he's using you to reach others. Like Connie said earlier, this house ought to be full. If everybody here concentrated on one individual, you'd have twice as many. That quick. Just pick one a year. Next year this time, it'd be twice as many people here. I mean, because what you got is what they need. They don't know that. They know they need something. They know they just need. Most people don't need. They just need loved. They just need someone to be around them. They need someone to listen to them. They just need attention. is what most people need. Well, in that attention, you bring them in line with Christ because you have Christ in you. Ephesians 3:20 says, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power or the grace that works in us. That's pretty amazing. That scripture right there is just pretty amazing. To think that I've got, goes all the way back. Abraham was justified by his belief. Ron was justified by his belief. Ron, in the midst of the scriptures, when you read in 4, 5, and 6, it says that he was given, because of his being justified, he was given grace. I've been justified, and in being justified, I was given the anointing and the power of God to flow through me and in me and around me. And when I'm weak, He is strong. It's so awesome to know that when I hit the bottom, all I got to do is... And everybody here, I don't care, everybody here at different times in their life, you have your ups and your downs that you're going through in life. Everybody, come on. Yes. It's just that's when you just say, I'm going to be all right. This is going to pass. Jesus, You are the answer. I'm trusting in You. It's an amazing thing. I've had some bottoms. I always come out. My mornings right now are my most difficult time. You can ask my wife. She has learned to just go, let him get out the door. And I'm not mean to her. I'm just very quiet, and I'm having trouble getting on top of things and getting going. But if I can just push on through, if I can just push on through, and I just get in here, I'm so blessed to be able to just get with God. And Jesus, come on, Lord. I got to get this together. I can't do this myself. Come on, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I know we can do this, Lord. And then pretty soon, okay, I'm all right now. And then it's time to go to bed. Get up, love God, love people, go to bed. I'm not here for me. You're not here for you. But you got to get you together before you're any good for anybody else. Did you hear me? Yeah, that's why it says, the Bible says, Thy will be done, you know. Yeah. Lord, Your will be done in my life today. Yeah. I mean, you start that prayer, start yourself first. Lord, You got it. Lord, Thy will be done in my life. And Lord, thank You that whatever Your will is for my life today, thank You that whatever You want to do with me. And Lord, while you're doing that, same for Connie. And while you're doing that, same for Chris, same for Brad, same for Keith and their families. Lord, Your will be done in their lives. He gives us a format on how to do it. And then once we have got a little handle, then we can give it out. 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, let's run the race to win. Literally is what it says. Well, to run the race to win, I need to know that I'm going to win. And to run the race to win, I got to go all the way back to Abraham and watch how it all started. Because see, we're out of all that. We're the seed of Abraham. And if he was justified for his belief, how much more am I justified because of what Christ did for me? If you're here today and you've never just let everything go, let's do it today. Let's don't allow works to be what you're living on, because it'll never, ever be enough. Because just about the time you think you're doing enough to keep God happy, the enemy's going to come in and make you push a little harder so you get your mind off of Christ that's got everything and you get your mind into yourself. Because the Bible says that we're going to become lovers of self. See, He uses every avenue. He'll even use the Bible to turn against you if He can get by with it. He'll get you so wrapped up in, I got to learn, I got to memorize, so God will be happy, and I got to go to church, so God will be happy, and I can't cuss, so God will be happy, and you shouldn't cuss, because that's going to bring destruction, and you can't do any of that that's going to bring destruction, but you live in the Spirit, I get to learn, I get to follow Christ, I get to go to church and encourage somebody, I get to go to get involved in youth, I get to pass on what God has given me, I get to do the things of God, I'm so excited about the things God's using me for, It's a whole different world when you get over in that realm, Father. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. And Father, if there's anybody here, If there's anybody by internet, Father, that recognizes today that they've got themselves involved in works, let them not swing so far to one side that they don't do anything, that they understand that the doing is your doing. The obedience is for you. The work that gets done, Father, you're going to use us and flow through us. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you that we've been justified. We thank you that we've been made righteous. We thank you that, Father, in the midst of all that, you give us grace. You give us mercy.
Hallelujah.
You take care of everything we got. Help us, Father, to not live in the realm of the flesh to satisfy our own self, but to live in the Spirit that satisfies us ultimately, takes care of us, but also gives us something to take care of somebody else. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in our lives. No matter what we're going through, Father, we trust you.
Yes.
And we thank you for it, because in the midst of all of it, we win the race that we're in. And we thank you for it, Father. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, the elders that are here will be up front.